22 trainers, are they worth it? This week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this is our last Mail Call Mondays of 2018. This is the end of Season 7, and I wanted to thank you guys real quick for sticking with us for 7 years. That is a ton of time. We've seen our audience grow, and I really love the feedback and the input that I get from you guys down in the comments. And I love running into you guys out at the range, out on the street, at various different shows and matches. I really think we have one of the greatest audiences out there, and I want to thank you guys for being so amazing and hopefully for sticking with us into 2019 and Season 8. So let's get into our topic for today, and we are going to talk about 22 trainers. There are a ton of pros and cons to 22 trainers, but we're going to look at a couple of different aspects, and we're going to look at the perceived economy of 22 trainers, because one of the primary reasons guys go to 22 trainers is because 22 rimfire ammunition, even match ammunition, is considerably less expensive than match centerfire ammunition. If you're comparing, for instance, a 6.5 Creedmoor or a 308 to a 22 long rifle, then there's some big differences there. The platforms themselves also tend to be a little bit less expensive, but we'll talk about that here in a minute. When we start getting into rimfire trainers, one of the big reasons guys want to use them is because they are limited to range. And going out and shooting a 6.5 Creedmoor or a 308 at 100 yards or 50 yards, you really start to limit what you can get in and what you can do. With a 22 rimfire, even at 100 yards, you can see some effects if you've got a stout wind. If you don't accommodate for it and you are shooting on inch or smaller targets, then you can definitely see some effects, and a good gust of wind can cause you to miss if you don't account for it. Now, if you have a little bit more distance, 200, 300, 400 yards, like my home range here, goes out to 385-ish yards, at that distance, if you don't account for wind with a 22 rimfire, it's going to be a complete and total miss, whereas something like a 243 or 6.5 Creedmoor, depending upon the size of your target, again, you can cheat quite a bit, and it takes a good deal of wind to start to blow you off of that. So you can gain a lot of extra skill shooting on the rimfire versus shooting on the full caliber rifle if you are limited to your range. The other issues that you run into very often is noise. If you live in an area where you have neighbors that are close in, but maybe you do live out in a county where you can shoot on your own property, you are going to irritate your neighbors a whole lot less shooting a subsonic 22, especially if you can put a suppressor on it, than you are shooting a full caliber rifle. Then you also run into the whole ballistic envelope. The surface danger zone is considerably less for a 22 long rifle than it is for a centerfire rifle, if for some reason you miss a berm, but I will still contend that no matter if you're shooting with a 22 long rifle or a centerfire rifle, you should have a solid backstop to catch any bullets that may miss your intended target or may go through your intended target. Don't just rely on open ground to absorb your bullets unless you have a lot of area and you can visually clear that area as you're shooting. So there are big advantages there. Now, when we get into younger shooters, the platforms tend to be smaller and they tend to be lighter. So if you're trying to break a younger shooter into the game, then you can put them on a rimfire trainer and run them through some of the same drills that you would with a larger centerfire rifle. And you can really get a lot of utility out of there. And there you take away the fear of the rifle itself. You take away the fear of the recoil. And then when they get the skill and they get the strength to be able to move the rifle around, then switching them over to a centerfire rifle really isn't that big of a deal at all. A lot of them will really look forward to the progression as a coming of age when they get to retire the rimfire and then move up to the centerfire rifle. Now, the biggest thing, I think that really a lot of guys start to look at the trainers, and one of the reasons that I started to look at the trainer, is that economy, that saving money per shot. Now, that's what attracted me to it. That's what started pulling me in that direction. But we've got two different examples sitting here in front of me and two different ends of the spectrum that I really need to talk about. First, we'll talk about the M&P 1522 that I have sitting here. Now, this obviously is not a precision rifle. It's not something I would shoot in National Rifle League 22 competition. This is a skill-building rifle. It could be shot in Steel Challenge in the 22 optics class, rimfire optics, or rimfire carbine optics. It can be shot in that division if I want to, and I probably will at our next match run this in that division. But the main reason I picked it up is to be able to go out on my regular range days and be able to shoot a lot more ammo for a lot less cost and be able to do it at closer range and be easier on my steel than it would be if I was shooting 5.56 out of a standard carbine. This is set up relatively similar to my full centerfire training rifles. It is a little bit lighter weight, so it doesn't perfectly duplicate them, although I could add some extra weight in the buttstock and add extra weight in the handguards and increase it until it balances very similar. But the cost was the main option. This rifle performs very well with bulk Federal or bulk Remington. It even shoots Remington Thunderbolt 22s pretty well, which Thunderbolts are hit or miss in a lot of platforms. So you've got a $300 to $400 rifle, depending upon what they are in your area and what kind of sales you catch. Now, this is an Aimpoint Comp M2 on here, so it is a relatively expensive optic, but this optic I didn't purchase for this setup. It was already sitting here on the shelf. So I dropped it onto this rifle to put it to use. You can throw something like a Vortex Strike Fire or one of the SIG Tango optics on here, or SIG Romeo optics, and you can get a very similar sight picture between a lower cost trainer and a higher end Aimpoint. So that you don't have to go drop the cash to put an Aimpoint on the trainer to get a lot of training value out of it. So with that cost, the low cost of the system itself and the low cost of bulk ammunition, then very quickly I can save enough money on centerfire ammunition to cover the cost of the rifle. That, and because it is lighter weight, it is more compact, and it has less of a bang when you pull the trigger, then it's no problem getting my younger son out to shoot this rifle. And then once I get him dialed in on that, going from this to a centerfire 5.56 rifle is really no problem at all. It will switch over and he will be able to pick that up very, very quickly. So there really is a true cost savings with the M&P 1522, and probably within half of the year, probably 6 months or so of training days, I will have recovered the cost of the 1522, and then I'm saving money shooting it versus shooting the 5.56 rifle. Now, of course, the controls are not exactly the same, the trigger's not exactly the same, the balance is not exactly the same, so I can't totally set aside my patrol rifles or my training rifles and just shoot the 22. I need to switch back and forth. Things like malfunction drills still work a little bit differently with the centerfire rifle. The way the charging handle operates and the the throw on the charging handle, the distance that it travels is different. So you still need to get some training time in on the centerfire rifles, but the bulk of stuff, up drills, bill drills, things where you're firing rapid shots very quickly, the 22 will allow you to train on that, get the trigger finger going, get the control manipulation going, and really get you more reps for less money. So with this, it very quickly works, and I don't have to worry about loading ammo for it. I don't have to worry about buying ammo for it. I can just grab the tub of bulk ammo and take it to the range and go. And when we're talking about things like Federal bring your own bucket ammo that I picked up at Academy, 1,100 rounds was about $50. So that's relatively cheap versus even bulk Wolf 5.56 or some of the really less expensive brands. It's definitely cheaper than the Federal XM193 or Freedom Munitions 55 grain that I usually run. So that's the carbine. But since we are a precision rifle oriented channel, let's talk about this guy in front of me. I know that's probably what most of you guys tuned in for. This is a Voodoo Gunworks V22 Ravage setup. We have been shooting this for a while now. Do not worry. There will be a complete review over everything on here to include the rifle itself, the bipod, the BNT Industries cowl, and the Vortex Razor Gen 2 3-18 that is sitting on here. We will go through all of it at a later date. So make sure you come back to us in 2019 and we will cover all of this. But really, I want to use this as an example for a absolute top-end 22 trainer because really there isn't any question that if you shoot a Remington 700 based rifle, this is the best trainer for a Remington 700 that there is right now. If you shoot a 700 clone, the same thing applies. The Voodoo V22 action will drop into Remington 700 footprints. So no matter how your centerfire rifle is set up, you can get that same chassis and you can drop the Voodoo into that chassis. You can either utilize the same scope and swap them between rifles, or you can purchase a very similar scope and go on it, and you can have a very, very, very similar clone to your centerfire rifle. The only real difference is going to be the bolt throw. The Voodoo has about 2/3 to half the bolt distance bolt travel distance that a short action Remington 700 has. So I will caution you, if you use one of these for a trainer or any 22 for a trainer, make sure you get a lot of dry fire bolt manipulation in on your full-size centerfire rifle so that you don't end up short-stroking the bolt. I actually have had problems with that before where I spent a lot of time on a 22 trainer and then switch over and shoot a centerfire rifle and not run the bolt all the way back and bounce it off that stop. So you want to make sure you get some of that dry fire in so that you get the full bolt throw. But trigger, you can put the exact same trigger that you have on your centerfire Remington 700 clone in here. And the magazines are AICS compatible magazines. So if you're running a war belt or mag pouches or that, then these magazines, with the exception of the little nub sticking up off the top of them, will fit in most AICS pattern magazine pouches, and they will lock into most AICS pattern chassis systems. I won't say all because there are some oddballs out there, but most of them that I've tried, these magazines will lock in and they will function just fine. They are 10 round magazines. So again, most AICS magazines are 10 round. I don't know if there are extensions made for them yet. I'm sure somebody out there is working on mag extensions to give you more than 10 rounds on them. But we'll have to check into that when we come back with the full review on the rifle. Now, I am a huge fan of this rifle. The first NRL 22 match that I took it to, I won that match. I won the second match as well. The first match, I had no rounds through this thing. I just rolled in cold, zeroed it at the match, shot it, And it was an absolutely amazingly accurate rifle, and I love shooting this thing. The action is so smooth, it is so accurate. As long as you do your job, it's going to do its job. Coming from a 10/22 to this rifle, the reliability of this action is excellent. I did, at the last match, have a couple of failures to fire, possible light strikes. I'm not 100% certain if it was the ammo or if it was the gun getting dirty or the bolt face or whatever getting dirty, but I pulled the bolt out, cleaned the bolt, and on the next range trip, it ran 100%. So having 500 or 600 rounds through it without cleaning the bolt or anything, I think we kind of pushed the reliability limit on it. You do need to wipe the bolt down and oil it at some point. This isn't meant to be a video totally over the rifle. I just wanted to give you a little basis about the rifle that we're talking about. Now let's talk about that economy. Like we talked about with the M&P 1522, let's talk about it with the Voodoo. Now, the actual list price on the rifle that we have set up here, without the bipod, without the scope, is $2,195. Now, I'll give you a minute to recover. Hopefully, you've gotten back up off the floor. Yes, that is an incredibly expensive rifle, but when we're talking about this rifle here, what I want you to think about is not that this is just a trainer. This is a full custom match rifle. So if you look at it that way, take out the fact that it's a 22. If I told you that this same package was $2,195 for a 6.5 Creedmoor or a 308 or a 6 Creedmoor or whatever on a custom action, that wouldn't be outlandish. That would be pretty much in the market. So what we're looking at here is a custom match rifle that just happens to be chambered in 22. But it is critical to our discussion of value here. So when we start looking at that, that is going to be a lot of ammunition that you have to go through before you're on the positive side of the whole economy. So let's go through it. And I pulled a bunch of prices. Most of these come off of Powder Valley. So let's say, for instance, that you already have a 6.5 Creedmoor match bolt action rifle. It's your competition gun. It's because this is really oriented towards the guys that are shooting competition and want something that is a subcaliber trainer. So let's say you already have your competition rifle. Let's say it's 6.5 Creedmoor. Just for the sake of argument, this works no matter what caliber you're in. You just have to tweak the prices a little bit. So on Powder Valley, we'll say that we're using H4350, which is what I use. So an 8-pound jug of 4350 is $189.75. I'm not counting shipping or hazmat fees or anything. It gets a little more complex when you do that, but the basis is the same. So if we take that 8-pound jug of H4350, that breaks down to 56,000 grains. We're going to assume that for the 6.5 Creedmoor reloads that we're using, we use 41.5 grains of H4350. That's a pretty moderate load for the bullet that we're going to get into. So what that breaks down to is about 15 cents per powder charge. So when you divide that jug up, it's 15 cents a powder charge if we say there's no waste at all. Next, we've got primers. So Federal Gold Medal small rifle primers, you're looking at $37.25 for 1,000. So that breaks down to 4 cents per primer. We want to use some good brass. So let's say we're shooting Lapua brass, small rifle primer brass. That's $111.17 for 100. So that breaks down to 22 cents if we factor that out over 5 firings. And that's a key thing. I kind of want to keep this apples to apples. If you're a reloader, you're not throwing high quality brass away after one shooting. You're going to load it several times. I figure even the hottest loads, you're probably going to get at least 5 before you have to scrap that, factoring in loss and all that again. So 22 cents per shot is what we factor that out to. Now, if you think you can get more, then, you know, just divide that 111.17. If you think you get seven loadings, divide it by 700. If you need eight, divide it by 800, etc. Next, we get to our bullet, and I've been shooting the Hornady 147 ELDMs. I think it's a pretty decent bullet. I've still got a little bit more work to do with it on the deadlines, but it'll work for our example here. And those are $29.85 for a 100, and so that breaks down to 30 cents a bullet. So if we combine all of that, again, assuming that you already have the reloading rig, we're not going to try to spin that cost into it, then you're looking at every time you pull the trigger, it costs you 71 cents, which isn't bad. That is a pretty good price, because if we look at factory ammunition, so you go buy a regular factory Hornady 147 ELDM, you're going to look at $1.21 per shot. Now, of course, the price fluctuates everywhere. I think I pulled this off of Midway. So that's just an example. So a pretty good difference. It's costing us almost half as much to shoot the reloads. But if we look at the ammunition that I purchased that I've been using in this for the last couple of test sessions, which is Norma Match 22, and I bought a 5,000 round case of it. That cost me a little bit better than $529. I priced it today, and it seems to be not available in the $5,000 round case. It was $529.80. Now, if you take that, which I think if you look for the 5,000 round case, you can get it for a little bit less, save you a little bit more money, but that breaks down to about 11 cents a shot. Now, 11 cents a shot is considerably cheaper than 71 cents a shot, and hopefully that cheaper cost per shot will encourage you to get out and shoot more. We're not going to factor in the get out and shoot more, but that's just something to keep in the back of your mind. Very often when we save money on shooting, we shoot more, but shooting more will improve your skill faster as long as it's meaningful training versus getting out and shooting less because you ran out of ammo money for the month. So that's great. It costs less, but there's a pretty high bar to entry here. So how much ammo do we have to shoot to save versus what we spent on the rifle? So the easy way to do this is you take the difference in the cost between the two. So we're saving 60 cents per shot by shooting a 22 cartridge versus the 6.5 Creedmoor reloads. So if you spread that out, then it's going to take you 3,659 6.5 Creedmoors that you didn't shoot to break even on the cost of this rifle. So that's a lot of ammo. You're going to have to factor out how much ammo you shoot in a year. So for me, it would take me probably a couple years to break even on the cost of this rig. Again, not talking about the scope and the bipod, just the rifle itself. So that's a whole lot, but let's switch over and look at it if you shoot factory ammo. If you're buying factory ammo, if you're not a reloader, if you don't have the ability or the place to do it, or you just don't have the time to reload, then it would take 1,815 shots to break even. So at the point that you have fired 1,815 shots through the trainer, you have now saved the cost of the whole system. So I'll let you guys go out there, check my math. I may be missing something on this, but that's pretty much the way it works out for me. So if you are a high volume shooter, then the 22 trainer really just makes sense. Now, the part that we can't factor in, the part that we can't put a price on, is just the sheer enjoyment of shooting a 22. I went out day before yesterday, took a couple of different types of ammunition because I'm wrapping up the review on this, and just sat down and punched holes in paper at 50 yards, and it was just a ton of fun. The sun was shining, the wind was just breezing a little bit, and it was a huge amount of fun just to sit with this rifle and just run the bolt. Everything worked perfectly, so a ton of fun. And it's difficult to put a price tag on that because I know with being able to just grab a box of ammo, throw it in the range bag, head out, and not have to worry about if I'm going to have enough ammo for the next match, if I have enough time to do some reloads, all of that, then I will get out and I will shoot this rifle more often than I would shoot the centerfire rifle. Now, again, just like we talked about with the carbine, you still actually do need to get out and do some training with your full-size centerfire rifle, because the recoil is going to be different. The bolt operation is going to be a little bit different. So when you're shooting off a barricade, you're trying to hold the rifle steady, that kind of thing, then you do need to make sure that the difference between the two is fresh in your mind. Now, training on a barricade with one of these is great because you're getting used to moving the rifle back and forth across the barricades. Now, there are a ton of options for trainers out there. You don't have to go drop 2,000 plus on a 22 to get the value of a 22 trainer. You can go with a less expensive rifle, one of the Savage rifles out there, Sako. There are a ton available right now that are less expensive than the Voodoo. The thing that you run into, or at least what I have found with many of those rifles, is the ergonomics of them start to shrink down. They're really designed for children, and it doesn't feel like a full-size rifle. You then have to go swap the stocks over. Then you don't have the ability to utilize high-end match triggers in them. So there are a lot of things that you got to take into account. When I started shooting NRL 22, I was doing it with a 10-22 that I built up. You can go back and watch some of the earlier videos there. And it took a little while to get to a system where I felt like it was a good weight that would work as a centerfire rifle trainer. Because if it's too light and you're tossing it around like it's a toy and it's too compact, I think it's difficult to get a lot of training value out of it. You're still getting the trigger squeeze, you're still getting the breathing, the sight alignment, and that. But I think you get more out of a trainer when it is a large, heavier rifle. Now, the large, heavier rifle resists recoil more, so you don't get the recoil, you don't get the movement. When I'm shooting this guy prone, the rifle doesn't move. I mean, it's pretty much just stuck there, and I can watch the bullet trace down range and impact the target. Whereas even with the MDT brake that's on the Deadline 6.5 Creedmoor, that's not a light rifle. It still has considerably more movement when I fire it than the 22. So you kind of have to engineer your training to do what you need to do with the 22 trainer, get the use of moving that rifle around. With 22 trainers, you still get the practice of building a stable position because the recoil doesn't have any factor on how steady the rifle is when you press the trigger. It has an effect on how steady the rifle is after the shot breaks. But getting into that stable position, the 22 trainer will do a lot for you. And I really can't specify how much value you have in being able to build a trainer that feels exactly like your full-size rifle. Voodoo Gunworks has quite a few different barrel diameters or barrel profiles available, so you can build up the barreled action to be very, very similar to what your full-size centerfire barreled action is and drop it in. Use some QD scope mounts and keep good track of what the deviation is between the trainer and your full size. And you can even run the same scope on both of them. Obviously, you can run the same bipod on both of them. This bipod gets switched off and goes on whatever rifle I'm taking to the range right now, because again, we're wrapping up the review on the cowl. So you can save a lot of money by reusing the equipment, but the rifle is going to cost you. Now, the last thing that I want to touch on is actually competing with the 22s. I mentioned National Rifle League 22 competition. I think right now it's hard to find a rifle that is better for that type of shooting than the Voodoo V22. There are a few out there where we're starting to get up into biathlon and Olympic quality rifles, but these are really set up to do that kind of competition. I mean, the whole point of NRL 22 competition is to be a rimfire short-range version of PRS-type stages. And so being able to utilize a PRS-style rifle for those just really is awesome. I have had a ton of fun shooting this thing in NRL 22 competition. Every time I have shot it, I have been able to come off the match, and I know that the performance on that match had nothing to do with the equipment and everything to do with me. So the rifle is high enough quality and it's accurate enough that I can just concentrate on doing what I need to do, and the rifle does its job with no problems whatsoever. So if you're looking at getting into NRL 22 competition in the open class and you have a budget that will accommodate it, I highly recommend that you look at the Voodoo Gunworks V22. Now, everything we discussed here with the rifles, it translates over to handguns as well. So shooting a handgun, a 22 rimfire handgun in something like Steel Challenge, a lot of that you train there translates over to shooting a centerfire handgun. So as long as you are going either dot-sided rimfire handgun to dot-sided centerfire or iron-sided rimfire to iron-sided centerfire, a lot of that switches over. The one thing that you really have to go back to the centerfire for is recoil control, because something like a Ruger Mark IV, when you set it up with a dot sight on it and all that, it has almost no recoil at all. You can just hold the sight on target and just drive on. So you do have to make sure that you are getting a good deal of centerfire handgun practice in to be able to deal with that recoil control and follow the dot or follow the front sight and bring it back down on target. I do want to thank Voodoo Gunworks for sending the V22 out to us to review. This has been a ton of fun shooting this rifle. I've got a lot of rounds through it. So please make sure you stick with us for the full review, which should be coming out very soon. So that is my overview of 22 trainers. I'm sure that I have missed something. So if you guys have any questions or comments over anything that we discussed, please leave it in the comments section down below. I really want to know, do you use a 22 trainer? Was it mainly the economy of training that got you into it, or was it being able to use the 22 in specific 22 rimfire competition that drew you to it? I'd love to hear your comments, so please go ahead and leave them down below. If you guys are listening to us on your favorite podcast app, you can send questions or comments to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. If you guys have liked the episode, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Make sure you click that little bell icon down below if you're watching us on YouTube so you get notification when we release new episodes. We release new content every week, so please make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And until next time, get out and shoot.